Good morning. Beautiful, beautiful song choir. Scripture today comes from John 21, 15 through 19. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, you went everywhere you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder what you think about when you hear the word education. I wonder what it is that runs through your brain when you hear the word school. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word homework. What memories come up in your head? What ignites in your head? What all of a sudden sparks in your brain when you hear these three words? For me, it was a 1976 song about school and how we didn't need no education. It's a song about how we are just robots in a society and nothing good comes from going to school. My only memory of when you say education is my English teacher poking me in the chest for some simple moral thing that I did wrong in English class. I remember Mrs. Mitchell smacking me over the wrists, over the knuckles, for some minor thing I did, which distracted me from my mathematics homework. My name's Keith Arkham, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And this week, we continue in our series, in our vision series, Identity. And we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about some of our core values for our identity. And our identity, as you are hopefully gradually getting right now, that we're going to put it on the screen so you remind you, and we're going to say it together. Our identity here at Palm Harbor, like if you were to cut us right through the middle, if you were cut us to right through the middle of the church, these are the core values that would come out of them. But the main vision of the church is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, three of you said that with me. I want you to say it again. You ready? The vision of Palm Harbor United Methodist Church is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Good. And the way we do that is with five core values. These five core values are how we achieve leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. The first one is what we talked about last week. In fact, we celebrated it in Pastor Kathy's announcement with open-hearted generosity. Say that with me. Open-hearted generosity. The second one, the next one, is excellence in Christian development. We're going to talk a bit more about that today. The next core value is a continuous focus on the future. Continuous focus on the future. And some of these Palm Harbor has already done. It's in their history really well, and they know it, you know it. The next one is also one of them. It's a commitment to missions. Commitment to missions. And finally, my favorite one, passionate participation. Yeah, and if you're not passionate, maybe go to Holy Grounds Coffee and get passionate. What are your values? What do you think of when you hear the word education. What do you think of when you hear the word school? What is it that triggers in your brain when you hear the word homework? I don't want to put on you my poor memories of an awful Pink Floyd song, but I do want to tell you some of the things that people said when I interviewed them about these words and the kind of things that trigger in their brains. I spoke to one person, and they said it boring, dread, a groan of anticipation of what's about to come. That was a high schooler. Another lady said to me, it was a parental demand. I had to do it. It gives me middle school nightmares. Finally, I found a high schooler who's going into college who was really, really positive. And I really like what she said. She said, it's a place where everyone cares about what you care about. That's nice, right? A place where everyone cares and can educate you about what you care about. Open-hearted generosity was last week. This week, we are talking about excellence in Christian development. And the little tagline that goes under that is that excellence in Christian development means here at Palm Harbor, we relentlessly do our best to honor God by teaching people the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the key thing that we can know in our heads, that Jesus Christ loves us and likes us. I have had the joy and luxury of witnessing this very value at work in somebody's life over the last 7 years. This particular guy was told and taught by his pastor, Pastor Max, up in Pennsylvania. He put his hands on his head in an old-fashioned Methodist church and told him he was confirmed and told him that Jesus loved him and liked him. I know Pastor Max. I met him. And so he told him something massive is going to happen in your life, son. God is going to speak through you. And for some reason, this guy thought that God did not like him, or Jesus did not like him. And he delved into the awful path and addiction path of drugs and alcohol. And he thought nothing of his life, and he wanted the next high. And so his mother and father thankfully sent him to Florida to get in the rehab program, Tampa Bay Turning Point. Now, Tampa Bay Turning Point had a 6.5-week program that taught you something about your life, that taught you that actually your life was worth more than this temporary high that's going to get you into trouble. And he started to listen to this. In fact, if you were good in this program, if you did what they asked you to do, if you were moral and you followed the program, on Sunday you could get out. No cell phones allowed in the program. On Sunday you could get out. If you signed up on the wall, you could go to this little pokey Methodist church up the street called Wellspring. So 13 people who got on the list, you could only have 13, there's only 13 people fit in the van. 13 people would come to my church, my first appointment, to Wellspring Methodist Church. And they would come in. And whilst he was there, this guy learned something else about himself. Or maybe he just remembered, right? Maybe he remembered that Jesus loved him and Jesus liked him. And he started to get involved in church. In fact, his sponsor, the guy he was accountable to for his behavior to get off of drugs and alcohol, gave him a guitar. He says, hey, learn these three chords. You got every worship song you ever need to know. And he started to develop his life. Tattooed everywhere, teeth are all messed up. And he started to re-educate his brain. He started to realign the neuron paths. He started to tell his brain that actually, Jesus, I think, likes me. I liked him so much, I hired him as my youth director. The kids loved him. They loved his story. They loved his turnaround story. And I hired him as my youth director. He met a girl in Narcotics Anonymous and AA, one of those groups kind of thing that they met together. And he really liked this girl. And this girl joined my church. And then she said, I'd love to get baptized. Can I get baptized in Tampa Bay? And we baptized in Oldsmar, in the sea. It was amazing. And then these two guys, they wanted to get married. So they asked me if I would do premarital counseling. Sure. 4 weeks of premarital counseling. And then I married them. I got the honor to marry them. This was free, of course. They were both broke. They spent all their money on drugs and alcohol. And I married them, and it was such a joy for me to be a part of this service. And then he says to me, I want to be a minister. Will you sponsor me? I want to be a minister in a Methodist church. Will you be my accountability partner to do this? Sure. And he goes to Trinity College. You know, up here in Trinity? He goes to Trinity College and graduates in Trinity College with a 4.0 GPA. Jesus had realigned his brain. Jesus had said to him, oh, you can do this. And he was, in the entire history of Trinity College, never had they had a tattooed, full-sleeved person be the valedictorian of the college. He didn't stop there. He went on to the seminary that I attended, Asbury Theological Seminary, and he now has, he's almost done, he now has a 3.96 GPA. Brian Russell, the dean of Asbury Theological Seminary, who was here, preaching here not long ago, said to me, who is this guy? He said, I'm sure glad he doesn't do drugs and alcohol anymore because his brain is brilliant. He's my best student. Oh, yeah, you didn't say that about me. This guy, who I've had the opportunity, the privilege to witness this excellence in Christian development, is Tim Barton. And Tim Barton stood here preaching to you 1 week when I was out of town. He is epitome. He is the epitome of an excellence in Christian development. He has walked and realigned his neuron paths. He's listened to the very education that Jesus wanted to educate us with. What about you? What do you know? What education have you had? What school did you go to? What homework should you work on to help you realign the neuron paths? As our schools go back, as our children go back to school, as we're praying for our teachers, as we're praying for those who educate others, what is it that you remember about your education? What did Jesus teach us? What education did he give his disciples? Did Jesus just show up on the Mount of Olives and say, blessed are the poor, and everybody was educated? Did Jesus just turn up on the Mount of Olives and say, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven, and everybody was educated? Oh, no. He spent time with his disciples. He was one-on-one with them. In fact, out of the 12, three of them were impacted most. They were this close circle of disciples and friends. And in our scripture today, it's after the resurrection. Lynn read John chapter 21, and it's the only account of 40 days after the resurrection when Jesus speaks to the disciples. He's on the Sea of Galilee. He walks along the Sea of Galilee. And in fact, just before this, Simon Peter says, I don't know what to do. I'm going fishing. And off he goes fishing, and six of the other disciples follow him. And they say, we'll go fishing too. And they're up all night. They're up all night trying to catch fish. And all of a sudden, this guy appears on the beach. The guy appears on Galilee. Why don't you throw your net on the other side? Throw your net on the starboard side of the boat. He throws the net on the other side, and sure enough, the disciples haul in a big load of fish. As they get a little closer, it's the rabbi. Hey, Simon Peter, it's the rabbi. Of course, Simon Peter, ever the extrovert, jumps out the boat, runs out to see Jesus, and he's, yeah, you're here. And Jesus is like, go back and get the fish. We need to fish for breakfast. And it says in the scripture that they hauled in 153 fish. Some say that that's how many scholars and educators say that, some say that that was how many different types of fish were in the Sea of Galilee. Others say it's a metaphor to signify the many different types of people the disciples will be able to catch. Regardless, Jesus says, bring them in. And they sit down and have breakfast. Some educating's going to go on right here, right? We got breakfast now. And they sit down and have breakfast with Jesus. And where all the senses are, the most senses in our stomach, they were all pleased at this time because they'd had breakfast, right? And then Jesus asks a question of Simon Peter. And if you can follow along, this is great. If you have a Bible, open to John chapter 21 again. And we're going to show it on the screen as well. If you're online, just go ahead, open John 21. We're going to start in about verse 15. John 21, this is right here. After breakfast, so he'd had breakfast with them. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told them. Here's the first instruction, the first education, the first schooling, the first homework that Simon Peter was to have. And maybe all the other six disciples, those seven disciples, or maybe there's six other disciples there with them having breakfast together. This is the first education I want to do. Notice what it says. Feed my lambs. It doesn't say sheep. It doesn't say cattle. It says lambs. Feed my lambs. A lamb is a young sheep, a young person. And it signifies those who do not know Jesus yet or have just about started to follow Jesus. Maybe they are young, 0 to 18. Maybe it's also a person who just realized what the gospel meant to them. This person can be between the ages of 0 and 80. 80. So a lamb is somebody who has just realized the gospel. Somebody who is new, somebody who is young. Feed my lambs. Jesus is saying, provide a place, Simon Peter, and you disciples, provide a place, provide a pathway, provide a pipeline for those who are lambs. Now, this translates perfectly to our day today. In fact, Pastor Kathy mentioned it in her announcements this morning. And you have all been doing this, providing a pathway, a pipeline, and a place for the lambs for a long time, all the way back to 1983, which is the first time we had Robin's Nest here, which is 37 years. 37 years, Palm Harbor has been providing a place for the lambs, for the young program, for our preschool program. So this was established in 1983. Right now, there are 144 students enrolled in our program here in Robin's Nest. And 30 of them are on a waiting list, dying to get in here. Also, other ways that we feed the lambs of Palm Harbor is through Stars and Comets program, our before and after care. Also established 35 years ago. When children come here before their parents go to work and pick up after work, there's 177 children enrolled in that program to date. Also, we have our own K through 8 school here on the campus of Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. This school educates children between kindergarten through 8, and there are 467 students enrolled in this program. Now, you guys can do the math because I'm not really good at that, but you want to add all them up and see how many lambs that we are doing, lambs that we are educating. To top that, we also have Camp Kuba, which comes out of Stars and Comets, and which was established 20 years ago, which normally sees 510 students every summer. And I get the opportunity as the new lead pastor here to be a part of feeding these lambs. I get the opportunity to dance with the two-year-olds here on a Monday and Tuesday. And I get to teach them, hey, I want to teach you something. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and likes you. And I get all the kids to go like this, no, Jesus loves you and likes you. And they all listen and they all do it and they all dance. I get the opportunity to teach these little lambs that they are loved by Jesus and they are liked by Jesus. In Westlake Christian School, we talk about excellence. We train them to educate them to know God, understand themselves, and transform their community for Christ. We at Camp Cobra have streams of children coming in here during the summer. Streams of children that come and come into this sanctuary and celebrate who God is. And celebrate and educate them and tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus likes you. Get that in your head. Sometimes it drops out, amen? Sometimes it drops out and we think, we're not good enough. Sometimes we think, especially as we get older and we're 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, we think, oh no, what's going on? Nobody likes me. Feed my lambs. Feed the lambs, says Jesus. That's the first thing, how Jesus wants us to educate people. That's the first thing. The next is like a 15, verse 16. Jesus repeated the question. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. So the first time was lambs, feed my lambs. The second time is take care of my sheep. Sheep are those who are already following Jesus. Those who have decided to follow Jesus, to make Lord and Savior of your heart, to decide this is the best path for my life. Jesus is saying, these people I want you to take care of. I want you to look after them. I want you to bring them into your fold. I want you to take care of their mental state. I want you to take care of the emotions. Well, they go everywhere, don't they? I want you to take care of relationships that people have. I want you to take care of people's physical state. Do they need a hospital visit? I want you to take care of people's spiritual state. I want you to teach them. I want you to love on them and take care of the sheep that you have. And Palm Harbor has been taking care of her sheep for a long time. In fact, dear Marilyn King has graduated out to retirement out of her education path, and she has been taking care of the sheep here at Palm Harbor for a long time. And we continue to take care of our people here at Palm Harbor. If you have been the recipient of care, you know how good that feels. Amen? You know that people care for you. It feels like Jesus is caring for you. And when you have been cared for, you naturally want to care for others. When you know how vital that's been to your life, when you know someone sat with you at your table, sat with you at your bedside, if you have been in hospital in pain, Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And Kathy Hart is responsible for revamping our care program as we go by. Those of you who have been Stephen ministers in the church know that that was our care ministry. And we're going to continue to revamp and rekindle our care ministry here at Palm Harbor. Jesus wants us to take care of the sheep. So the first one is, feed my lambs. Some of you listening. The second one is, take care of my sheep. This one, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Third time, Jesus always does things in threes for some reason. Third time, he asked John, verse 17. He says, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So this time, when Jesus asked them again, I would also be like Simon Peter at this point, a little aghast. Like, I just told you twice before, why are you asking me a third time? I don't know what his intonation was in his voice. I don't know where he placed his intonement on his words. He's like, Jesus, you know everything. Did he say, you know everything. You know everything. Where was his intonation? What did he ask of Jesus? Like, don't you know everything? Don't you know my heart? Anyway, he said, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus replied the last time, nice and loud, feed my sheep. So the first one is, feed my lambs. The second one is, take care of my sheep. And the last one is, feed my sheep. Now, most churches don't need reminding to feed their congregants. We're all good with feeding each other, amen? We can't wait to eat together. Jesus here is talking about feeding those who get it. Jesus is talking about feeding those who know that Jesus loves them and likes them. Still, we need educating even more that Jesus loves us and likes us. We still need to know more and more of God. As my seminary professor used to say, find out all you can about yourself. Find out all you can about God. Give all that you know about yourself to all that you know about God. Then you will know the fullness of life. We need to know ourselves by being fed. Fed, he's saying to Simon Peter, teach them the scrolls, teach them the Tanakh. Not the rules we place on ourselves, not what the rabbis are putting together, the 613 rules that they put together, but teach them that God loves them as they are. Teach them about the Bible, that we meet them where they are. Wherever people are in their walk, in their life, whatever age, whatever decade they're in their life, whatever location they are in their life, teach them. Feed them with things that are good for their life. Give them knowledge that not just information for the heck of information, information that leads to transformation. Do that for them, Simon Peter. You get it, Simon Peter. You lot all get it too around the fire here. Listen, I'm out of here in a minute, says Jesus. I'm out of here. Like, the Holy Spirit's going to come and all that, the paraclete, and he's going to comfort you and all those kind of things. Yeah, I told you that. But I'm out of here after this, and it's you, Lord. You are the personification of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell within the seven of you sitting here. And I want you to do these three things. Three things. We make it so complicated in church, don't we? We make it so complicated. I make it complicated. We all think it's so complicated. Jesus says, do these three things. We have been shaping each of us over the years here at Palm Harbor. We have been feeding the sheep with Bible studies, events that stir the soul. We've been teaching each other about what the Bible means for us today in 2021. We've been teaching each other the love of God by meeting with one another. Homes and groups. And this feeds our soul. We don't do it for the heck of it. We don't do it. We missed it, didn't we, when we couldn't do it? We do it so that our souls are stirred, so our minds are rewired, so the neuron paths in our head tell us something different. So that the good messages we heard when we were younger, when Pastor Max was laying hands on Timmy's head, that said to him, Jesus loves you and Jesus likes you. We remember those things. Teach them. Feed my sheep, says Jesus. And then he goes on to say, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this too. Let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. What did Jesus say? Follow me. He didn't say join this program. He didn't say get in line at Starbucks and have this kind of thing happen to you. He didn't say you must go at this particular time and this particular place because this is what's right for your life. He just said, follow me. Follow me. He said that to the people who had been following him for 3 years. He said that to the people who were going to be the apostles. These seven people were going to go out across the known world and somehow send the Christian message, the gospel message, throughout the world. And people would receive it. I would get a little messed up here and there. I would get a little bit distorted here and there. But the message of the gospel rang true. Go and do these three things, says the Simon Peter. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some bad, but keep going. Keep going and do these three things. Do these three things that I've told you here. And do them with excellence. What do you think about when you hear the word excellence? What goes through your head when you hear excellent? I don't know. Is it perfect? Is it the best? Is it expensive? When Paul was sending his letter to Philippi, he was sending this letter to encourage. In fact, Philippians is such a beautiful letter. It's all about encouraging and encouraging the believers. And Paul sent this letter to Philippi. And as he was encouraging them, he said this to them. He said to them, I want you to think on some things. I want you to think about how things are going in your life. Chapter 4, verse 8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable and right, what is true, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And that word there, excellence, is arete. Arete in Greek, which means these three things. Whatever is virtuous, whatever has goodness, whatever is wonderful. What is it in your education? What is it in your past? What have you come to know is excellent? What is virtuous? What is of worth? What is it wonderful? Is it full of goodness? This is the kind of thing we as followers of Jesus must look for. Where are you in the sheepness of Jesus' message? Are you a lamb? Are you new to the faith? Are you somebody who's just understanding that the gospel is just for you? Ah, what a joy. Maybe you have been a follower of Jesus for a long time and you're excited about the lambs. You want to see the lambs here embracing the gospel of God for 2021. Maybe you are in need. Maybe you're a sheep and you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you're in need. You need, have mental needs. You have emotional needs. You have needs in your relationships. you have needs physically, you could just do it, someone to sit next to you and pray for you. Maybe you want to give. You want to give care to those who are in need. Maybe you're a sheep that needs feeding. You want to be around people. You want to be around people learning the gospel some more. You want to know the scriptures some more. You want to learn from those who are older and wiser than you about how you can be a more rounded individual. You can be somebody who is excellent. Jesus said, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're going to follow me with all the other different fish, the 153 types of fish that are with you, he said, do three things. Are you going to say them with me? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's the message, folks. That's what I and this church wants you to do. We want you to know the love of Jesus. We want you to be educated. We want you to pray for our teachers, of course, for all of our programs, that they would teach them this one thing. Actually, it's two. Jesus loves you. Jesus likes you. That's the message. Here at Palm Harbor, we lead people to a life-changing relationship by giving excellence in Christian development. Are you with me? Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the directions he gave us how to be educated. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you love everybody here, everybody online, everybody who's watching, everybody who's present in this place. We're thankful that you love us and that you like us. And we pray, Lord, today that we would look for excellence in our lives, that we look for places and pathways and pipelines for people to get closer to you. We ask all this in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.